Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, does your favourite childhood chocolate bar or biscuit packet seem smaller than it used to? Or perhaps that bottle of shampoo or conditioner isn't going quite as far as it used to, while prices seem to be staying the same or maybe even rising? It may not all be your imagination, as shrinkflation is very real. That's the practice of making the product smaller while keeping prices the same. To tell us more, I'm joined now by Adam Maguire, RTE business journalist. Adam, who first came up with the term shrinkflation? How long ago was that?
It's actually a relatively new term. It's attributed to economist Pippa Malgren, who first used it in 2015, but the actual practice goes way back beyond that. But the term itself is relatively new.
And what is it?
Well, people are unfortunately all too familiar now with inflation, the price rising. But shrinkflation is kind of the covert cousin. So as you say, it's the practice of making the product itself smaller while keeping the price the same, or maybe cutting it, but not by as much as you've cut the size. So you're effectively raising the price because you're paying more per gram or per litre, but it's harder to spot because you really have to be paying close attention.
So when people do that nostalgic back in my day thing and start getting all Brexity on this occasion, they're right.
About certain things, yeah, they are. If you remember a curly whirly being the size of a small ladder, it's not entirely because your mind is playing tricks on you. The likes of chocolate bars have definitely been progressively getting smaller over the years. And for whatever reason, that's probably the type of product people notice most, but it does happen across all types of consumer goods. A study by the Office for National Statistics in the UK, their version of the Central Statistics Office, identified 2,529 products that shrank in size between January 2012 and June 2017. And because they're common consumer goods in Britain, it means that they're generally common consumer goods here as well. And it found that when the products got smaller, the price tended to stay the same. It should be said this study also identified cases where the product increased and the price stayed the same. So that does happen in the other direction, but it's much more common for it to shrink and the price to stay the same.
Where is it most common, Adam? What area or class of consumer goods?
Well, according to that ONS survey, food and drink accounted for most of the decreases in product sizes. About 71% of what they found were food and drink products. That category, though, also accounted for the most cases where the product size increased, 70% there as well. Shrinkflation, most common amongst bread, cereals, meat, and then a lot of sugar-heavy products like jam, syrups, sweets. Outside then of food and drink, the likes of toilet rolls, nappies, tissues, things like that, we're most likely to see shrinkflation. Also other common household goods like kitchen roll, washing up liquid and so on.
So give us some more examples then.
Yeah, there's plenty to choose from. I suppose the best way of looking at it is to identify some of the different ways that shrinkflation is achieved. So back in 2017, McVitie's reduced the number of Jaffa cakes in a standard packet from 12 to 10. So you simply got fewer biscuits or cakes, depending on your religion, inside the box there. The size of a Toblerone has shrunk considerably over the past decade or so. It was 200 grams back in 2010. It went down to 170 grams. Then again, it went from 170 to 150 in 2016. And that was partially achieved by making the gaps between the Alps a little bit bigger. So you might have noticed that, you know, there's a bigger range between them.
It sounds like the most cynical thing in the world to do. But in fairness to the manufacturers, they were doing an awful lot of reformulation of their product over the course of the last 5 or 10 years, so that it was, you know, better in line with dietary guidelines at the time, because nobody had any business sitting down and eating 200 grams of a Toblerone in a single sitting.
You're supposed to share it. That was the idea. Although you might have noticed the small print.
That is
part of it, definitely. But I suppose the issue is that when the price stays the same and the product shrinks, then, you know, there's a difference.
That's just a response
there
to
well.
Inflation, isn't but it? Anyway, go on.
I mean, there's plenty of other examples as well. Like Innocent Smoothies, they used to sell 1 litre cartons of juice. Now it's 750 mils standard size. Back in 2017, P&G took 21 sheets off each roll of Andrex toilet paper, meaning consumers were effectively getting 2 rolls fewer in a pack of 16. And in the past year, consumers have probably been hitting the double because prices are, of course, going up, but we're also seeing shrinkflation continue. McVitie's a culprit again. 3 biscuits taken out of a packet of digestives in recent weeks. A packet of Cadbury's these buttons has shrunk by around 23%. So in some cases, people are actually paying more at the till, but they're actually getting less in their pocket as well.
Who was the journalist who got the job of counting the sheets of Andrex toilet paper? Why do companies do this? What's the consumer psychology here of reducing the size of the product rather than just raising the price?
Well, a price increase, they're bad for business. You know, companies like to avoid them. That may not seem to be the case in the past year or so, but they do try and avoid it. Perhaps the oldest recorded example of shrinkflation goes back to French bakers in the 18th century. They were expected to charge a just price for their bread, and they knew that if they increased the price of a loaf of bread, there'd be riots and they'd probably end up getting killed themselves. So best avoid it. But of course, the price of flour would go up and down. So, you know, they can't be expected just to swallow that difference. So it was
generally... Are you saying shrinkflation led to the French Revolution?
No, it just came a little... it was separate to this, but it was generally accepted that even though you couldn't change the price, the loaf might get smaller. So Someday you'll buy it at a smaller loaf of bread. Now, consumer brands probably don't have to worry about people rioting on the streets if they raise their prices now, but they're aware of just how price-conscious consumers are, especially at the moment. We're all very sensitive to our budgets. And they don't want to do something that's going to put someone off making a purchase, which is certainly more likely in a luxury item like chocolate that you just won't buy it at all. Or maybe you go to the competition and then you don't come back because you decide this product is better or better value. And so shrinkflation is a way of raising the price in a way that's a little bit under the radar. You know, we just don't notice it most of the time. We eventually do, but we, you know, in the immediate here and now, we probably don't. You know, I don't know about you, I don't tend to count the number of sheets on my toilet roll. So I don't notice it shrinking very, very slightly. And I'm not going to notice that I'm effectively paying more. And in that instance, actually, with the toilet roll, the company also did cut the price, but not by as much as they cut the product by. So customers thought, oh, I'm actually getting a better deal now, but they're actually paying a little bit more.
No, we are not counting the number of sheets, or nor are we measuring the distance between the Alps and our Toblerone bar. But we are counting the pence left in our pocket, and it is having a real effect.
Yeah, because it might sound a bit insignificant to have, you know, one or two biscuits fewer in a packet, but you know, when you do the sums, it is actually a significant difference. So taking that the Jaffa Cakes, two Jaffa Cakes out of the packet doesn't sound like a big deal, but it's equivalent to a 16.6% increase in the price per cake. A Toblerone now effectively costs 25% more than it did in 2010, not counting any actual change in the price, which has probably gone up as well in the meantime. If they just jacked the price up by 25%, people might have just decided not to buy it at all. And, you know, it's possible, obviously, to make that decision when it comes to luxuries like chocolate, that I'm just not going to spend my money because it's too expensive. But when you're talking about basic household items like the toilet roll, you kind of don't have a choice. So by reducing the amount of paper in a toilet roll packet by 10%, you're forcing people to buy toilet rolls more often or to buy more of them. And the same goes for kitchen roll, you know, cling film, tin foil, all those cleaning products and so on. So it's part of the reason why people will feel like their euro isn't quite going as far as it used to, even though they're buying the same product, they're spending the same amount of money on it, but they're just not getting quite as much out of it as they were before.
And when they're snared, do they have a defence for it?
Yeah, well, you touched on it yourself with this reformulation, and because food companies are the main culprits of shrinkflation, food and drink companies, but they're not purely doing it out of profit seeking. You know, the Food Safety Authority has a food reformulation roadmap, which runs to 2025. It is voluntary, but the aim is to get companies to reduce some of the stuff that's, you know, bad for us in excess in our food and drink. So it wants a 10% reduction in salt in some of the most common foods, 20% reduction in sugar, 10% reduction in saturated fat. And overall, and this is kind of one of the key ones, it wants a 20% reduction in calories in products that contribute most to childhood obesity. So for certain food types, that means changing out ingredients or you know, changing the recipe slightly so that it has less salt or sugar. But when you come to things like chocolate, you know, there are attempts to reduce the amount of sugar or fat in chocolate, but it's hard to do it without making it taste substantially different, and some would say substantially worse. So the solution for them is portion size, make the portion size smaller. So if you want to reduce the calories in a chocolate bar by 20%, you give the consumer 20% less chocolate as a result of that. And anecdotally, people will say they actually don't mind their Easter egg being a little bit smaller, especially their kids' Easter eggs, because they get so many of them, and maybe it's better not to eat so much chocolate in one go. The problem, though, is that whatever the reason, and even if it's kind of good for us, we're still, the price isn't being cut or cut by as much. So the consumer is still, you know, picking up the tab for this. And there's still an increase then in the profit margin, which, of course, the company benefits from.
This is not the only invisible inflation technique, though. What is skimpflation?
Yeah, this is one I came across in researching this. It's not as common a term nearly as shrinkflation, but I think it's a concept that people would be very familiar with. It's the idea of a company cutting corners on a product or a service to reduce the cost. So it costs the same. It might even look and feel the same when you're buying it, but under the hood, it's a lesser product than what it was. And the problem is that it's even harder to spot than shrinkflation because you can't, you know, look at the weight or the size of the product. So I'm thinking of a certain major chocolate company that a few years ago swapped out a lot of its iconic dairy heavy chocolate in favor of something that was much more sugary and sickly because it was a cost saving measure. Or, you know, it might be the hotel that charges the same for bed and breakfast, but when you check in, you realize the room probably hasn't been cleaned to the same standard because they've cut back on housekeeping. Or you go downstairs in the morning for your breakfast, your complimentary breakfast, and you realize it's a cereal bar and a few stale pastries rather than the fry up that she used to get. But of course, you've already paid your money. You've handed over your cash then, so it's too late, and unfortunately you just get an inferior product.
Or a business reporter who doesn't smile quite as much as he used to when delivering his reports. All right, Adam Maguire, thank you very much for joining us with that this morning. Coming up after the break, Chef Richie Castillo joins us with suggestions for fabulous Filipino food.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.